leadership and do such a wonderful job. Thank you so much, every one of you. God has blessed us with a lot of talent. Next week, we're going to discover some more. Next week is our family day, our fifth Sunday family day. And I want you to do this. So Tom and Renee are going to pick out some easy songs. And if you have an instrument, I want you to bring it, so that we can all play and sing together. We're going to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. But we're going to have a great time. As I shared last week when I was in Peru, and we had this crusade. We would go to church every night, and people in the congregation probably would seat about 100, and probably half of them will bring a tambourine or a guitar or whatever, and everybody would just jam together as they sang their songs in Spanish. We had this crusade, and there were like 2,000 or 3,000 at the end of the week that would come to do work. And again, many of those in the congregation, there was a worship team, but many of them in the congregation brought their instruments as well, and everyone offered their praise. It was a really exciting time. I remember years ago when we were in Mississippi, there was a Methodist church who had campground meetings. And at that time, this is dating me a little bit, at that time there were no microphones, or speakers, or anything. So they had pianos spread throughout the tent. And everybody was playing the same tune on the same, not on the same piano, but the same tune, different pianos. And so wherever you were, you could hear and you could sing along. So so next week, bring your instrument. Okay? We're going to have a great time in the Lord. And perhaps the Lord will just anoint you with a worship next week. All right? So, just kind of give you a heads up on what's coming. Today, we're going to be talking about Jesus never changes. We're in Hebrews chapter 13. And throughout history, there's been a heated discussion about who Jesus really is. Even when Jesus was walking here on this earth, there were people who, like Peter said, you are the Son of the living God. You are the Messiah. Others thought he was just a man. And some said that he was from the devil. Okay? So, we want to find out from Scripture who this Jesus really is. According to J.E. Renan in his book, The Life of Christ, actually published on this day in 1863. He says that Jesus was a magnetic teacher with a vivid personality and merely an incomparable man. None of the supernatural elements in his scriptural biographies are true. Well, of course, his book raised an immediate storm throughout Christendom. But then the atheists said that he didn't go far enough into his teaching to really denigrate the life of Christ. If you were to go out today and ask a number of people, who is Jesus, you would get a varied number of answers. As a matter of fact, if you were to ask some people that, they would get irate just by asking them. Isn't that crazy? that the name of Jesus causes that much disturbance with people. So, the writer of Hebrews says, in Hebrews chapter 13, we're going to read verses 8 and 9 because we're going to delve into verses 9 as well. Let's stand together for the reading of God's Word. Read it with me. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So do not be attracted by strange new ideas. Your strength comes from God's grace, not from rules about food which don't help those who follow them. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And as we go to the Lord in prayer, I'm going to ask my brother Jerry if he would pray for me in this service. Amen. Yep. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So there will come places throughout that I'm going to be reading some definitions of who Jesus is. And after some of those definitions, I'm going to make a statement that Jesus is and was and always will be. I want you to say that with me when I get there, okay? So practice. Jesus is and was and always will be. Say it one more time. Jesus is and was and always will be. Okay, have you got it? All right. So Scripture teaches us that Jesus is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He was before there was time, and He will be there for all eternity. He is and was and always will be. Scripture teaches us that Jesus is the Creator. He's the Creator God. We find that in John 1 as well as in Genesis chapter 1. God said, "Let us create man in our image." Talking to Jesus, talking to the Holy Spirit. So Jesus is the Creator of all things. In John chapter 1, it says, "And the Word was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him." Jesus was and is and always will be. We find that Jesus also is the crucified one. Before time began, so there's a passage of Scripture in Revelation 13:8. That says that the Lamb was slain from the foundations of the world. So before time began, before you were created, before mankind was created, I'm thinking that God and Jesus had this discussion. And they're talking about creating man. Creating mankind. And the reason was because God, the Trinity, has so much love to give, there wasn't enough people to go around to love. And so they said, "Why don't we make man in our image, and we're going to just love them and just love upon them. We're just going to bestow our grace and our love upon them." But there's going to be a problem. Problem is that there will come a time when men will sin against us, and because we're holy and just, we're not going to be able to have a relationship with them like we would love to. And so because of the sin, there's going to have to be a blood sacrifice made. And I'm just imagining this discussion's going on, okay? Because this scripture says that Jesus was slain from the foundations of the world. So before the world ever began, there was this knowledge that somehow there was going to have to be a sacrifice for sin, and that Jesus was going to be the one who was sacrificed. Jesus is the crucified one. Scripture teaches us that Jesus is the deliverer, and He is the eternal God. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, this is what it says. "And He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." This is Jesus. The first portion of that passage of Scripture says, and you will have a child born unto you, and this is who it will be. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. How does Jesus the Son also be the Everlasting Father? You can share your thoughts with me later. And the Prince of Peace. Jesus was and is and always will be. Jesus is the healer. Jesus is holy. Scripture teaches us that Jesus is Emmanuel, which means God with us. God with us. He is the King of Kings. Jesus is the Lord of Lords. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is and was and always will be. Jesus is our sin offering. Jesus is He's the one who pardons our sin. Jesus is the Redeemer. He is the Savior of all. Jesus understands your problems. Jesus understands your trials. He understands your temptations. And He loves you. And He cares about you. But He doesn't always just calm everything that's going on in your life. Jesus is and was and always will be. Jesus is your victory. He is the Word of God. He is the Word of God. So, though the world doesn't see Jesus like we do, and they don't like the Jesus whom we serve, and whom we worship, and they want to change His nature to fit their ideals, or they don't want to recognize Him at all. But I also want to say this, that many people want a Jesus of their own imagination rather than the one that is described in Scripture. And so they then allow themselves to create a God that doesn't exist. It's a God that exists in their own mind. Jesus never changes. Jesus is and was and always will be. Isn't it nice to have something that's unchangeable? Something that you can put your faith in and have a solid trust that it's never going to change. It's not going to change for you. It's not going to change for anyone else. It's only going to remain the same, and you can put your hope in that anchor of truth. So, Who is this Jesus that the world stands against? Well, Jesus is powerful. When in John chapter 1, it says that Jesus was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. What I picture, and I believe this is truth, that it was Jesus who spoke the worlds into existence because He's the Word. It was through His Word that the worlds were spoken into existence. Everything you see in the heavens, everything you see on earth, was because of the spoken Word of Jesus Christ. When Jesus was here on earth, He had power over the weather. Remember when the disciples were in the boat? Jesus was sleeping. And there was a storm. And the storm got worse, worse, worse. And Jesus snored louder, and louder, and louder. And the disciples said, "Oh Lord, wake up! We're going to die!" Have you ever felt that way? "Oh Lord, wake up! I'm going to die!" Jesus gets up. Doesn't want to. He said, "Oh, you of little faith." Man, how long is it going to take before you are believing and trusting and knowing and doing? Now, that's not what he said, but that's kind of in my own interpretation. Jesus had been working hard. He needed his rest. But here's the thing. You can always go to Jesus. Regardless of the storms that you face, you can always go to Him. And He might question, "Oh, you of little faith, how long will it be before you embrace truth?" How many of you have ever gone through storms in your life? Was there ever an end to that storm? Yeah. Yeah. Things got peaceful. And if you're going through a storm in your life right now, Jesus has power over that storm. He has power over that storm. I would just say to you, as Jesus said, peace. Be still. Peace. God is at work in this situation. Be at peace. Be at rest. Jesus is just the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. He never changes. Jesus was and is and always and will be powerful. Not only is Jesus powerful, and we could go through a lot of these unchanging attributes of Jesus. We're going to speak about three more. Jesus also is approachable. And this is simply amazing to me that Jesus, the God of the universe, would allow me to approach Him. And that He wants to approach me. You remember in the New Testament, the children, the parents of children were saying, "Oh, we want to let Jesus bless our children." And the disciples said, "Nope, we don't have time for children." Jesus heard about it. And he said, guys, you bring those kids to me. You bring those kids to me. And so the disciples obeyed and the children came and Jesus blessed those children. Jesus is approachable. There was a demoniac. You remember on the Sea of Galilee, there was a guy, a Gadarene demoniac, who came out to meet Jesus. And the demon would say, Jesus, get away from us. But this guy that was so evil, so messed up, so wicked, so terrorizing, Jesus allowed him to approach him. Isn't that amazing? No one is too far gone that Jesus won't allow them to approach him. Also, you may remember that Jesus approached a woman at the well, called her the Samaritan woman, who had been married five times. The fellow that she was married to at the time was not her husband, and yet Jesus approached her, and he loved her. Loved her into the kingdom. Isn't that, it's amazing that God, Jesus is so approachable. We found out in Hebrews chapter 4, 16 that we can approach him in prayer. This passage says, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. He says, come on, guys. I'm approachable. I've opened my throne room so that you can enter in and you can let your request be known to me and you will find what? Grace and mercy to help in your time of need. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The Lord wants to give mercy to you and grace to you in your time of need. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12, in Him and through faith in Him, we may approach God with freedom and with what? Confidence. Jesus is also relational. Oh, let me back up. Jesus was and is and always will be approachable. Now Jesus is relational. You know, Jesus, Adam and Eve in the garden, the reason, as I shared earlier, the reason they were created was so that the Trinity could have a relationship with them. Jesus chose 12 disciples to have a special bond with, a relationship with. He chose you, if you are in His kingdom, so that He could have a relationship with you. And so, as a matter of fact, there's a few verses where Jesus is calling us to come to Him so that we can have that relationship. In Matthew chapter 11, 28, it says, Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Praise the Lord. Are you weary? Are you heavy laden? Are your burdens too difficult for you? Jesus says, come to me. I'm begging you, come to me. Come to me. Come to me. In Revelation 22:17, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Who's the bride? The church is the bride. So the Holy Spirit is saying, come. The church is saying, come. Let anyone who hears this say, come. Let anyone who is thirsty, come. Let anyone who desires drink freely from the water of life. So did he leave anybody out? No. Everyone is to come. If you want something more than you have already spiritually, Jesus says, come to the well and drink. Come to the banquet and feast. It's yours. I'm inviting you. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 16, he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. So it's not Jesus that's keeping us back. If there's a door shut, it's because we've shut it. And Jesus is saying, I want to come and sup with you. You remember a little guy named Zacchaeus? Climbing up in a tree because he couldn't see over the crowd. And Jesus comes up to Zacchaeus and says, Zacchaeus, come down from that tree because I want to go have dinner with you. How do you think Zacchaeus felt? Have you ever heard the Holy Spirit speak to you? Have you ever heard the Holy Spirit say, come? Have you ever heard the Holy Spirit say, come out of your sickness, come out of your sinfulness, and come unto me? Have you ever heard that? Have you ever heard the Holy Spirit say, come unto me and pray a while? Have you ever heard Him say, come, enter in to my presence? Have you ever heard that? Jesus is relational. And He wants to have a relationship with every single one of us. And the only reason people don't have a relationship with Him is because they don't want it. It's not God's fault. Because He says, come. In Isaiah 55, 1 through 3, again, is anyone thirsty? Come and drink. Even if you have no money, come. Take your choice of wine or milk. It's all free. Why spend your money on food that does not give you strength? Why pay for food that does you no good? Listen to me, and you will eat what is good. You will enjoy the finest food. Come to me with your ears wide open. Listen, and you will find life. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. I will give you all the unfailing love I promised to David. Woo! Praise the Lord! How would you like to have all the love that God promised to David? And he says, if you want it, all you have to do is come. That's all you got to do is come. That's all. What you got to do to receive the love of God? What do you have to do? What else? That's all. You just come. Just come. Man, I want that. I want that in my life. I'm sure you do too. So why don't we come? In our opening passage in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 9, it talks about the grace of God, the grace of Jesus Christ. We'll get back to that in just a second. So do not be attracted by strange new ideas. Your strength comes from God's grace, not from rules about food, which does not help those who follow them. Did you know that Jesus is full of grace? He's full of grace. It's full of truth. In John 1:14, again, and the Word, excuse me, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So Jesus is still full of grace. Jesus was, is, always will be, full of grace and truth. So here's the thing. Grace belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is poured out on us, poured out on the world. But faith is our part. The faith is, what am I going to do with the grace that Jesus has poured out upon us? What am I going to do about the love that He wants to bestow upon me, the same love that He had for David and He wants to bestow upon you? What am I going to do about it? I can either reject it or I can receive it by faith. It's not by sacrifices. It's not by works. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Somebody read that for me. Let's all read that together. For by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. It's not of works, lest anyone should boast. So here's the deal. We don't put our faith in our own works. Right? We put our faith in Jesus Christ. We don't put our faith in our own righteousness. We put our faith in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Some people will never receive the gift of grace because they don't think they deserve it. Guess what? Nobody does. You don't deserve it. How many of you have ever received an extravagant gift? Did you deserve it? Did you receive it? Yeah. Now you can either receive it or reject. Oh, I don't deserve that. Take it back. I tell you what, if you want to give me an extravagant gift, I will bless you by letting you give it to me. And I've received some extravagant gifts. I didn't deserve it. And I wonder, why would someone do that for me? Do they really know who I am? Do they really want to do that for me? Well, if they don't know who I am, I'm not going to tell them. If God doesn't know who you are, don't tell Him. Just accept the gift. And by the way, God knows who you are. You haven't hidden anything from Him. He knows you. He created you. He created you to love you. He created you to bestow all His love, all His grace, all His mercy on you. So God wants to give you an extravagant gift. The gift is eternal life through Jesus Christ, Son. Is there any reason why you would turn that down? What good reason do you have that you would turn down the gift of God? Eternal life that starts the moment you receive Christ and goes through eternity. God loves you. But we are separated from God because of sin in our life. Jesus Christ died to take the punishment for our sins. If we want to receive that gift, we need to ask the Lord to forgive us of our sins. Put our faith in Jesus Christ, not our own self, but our faith in Jesus Christ. And Scripture says if we do that, that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. If you're here today, you may be hearing the Holy Spirit say right now, come. Come. Come to the water of life. Drink freely from the water of life. If your soul is thirsty, come. If your soul is hungry, come. Don't put it off. Open the door. Let Him have that relationship with you that He created you for. Have you ever had anybody reject you? How does that feel? Would you reject Jesus? Jesus says, come unto me. All you who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The Spirit and the bride say, come. All who have heard the message and received say, come. Would you come today? Father, I come before you today. Lord, I thank you for inviting us into your presence, for inviting us into a relationship with you, for being an approachable God. You're awesome, you're wonderful, you're great. With every head bowed and every eye closed, and we'll just ask you, for those of you who've never received Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and you want to say yes to the Lord today, would you just look up at me right now? Okay? Someone else? Anyone else? Okay. And here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to pray. And just kind of whisper it under your breath. You don't have to be out loud, but just whisper it under your breath. Lord, I hear your voice. Hear you saying to me, come. Dear Lord Jesus, you know the sin in my life. And you know what you're getting when I come to you. Lord, I want the life that you have for me. I want a relationship with you. Forgive me of my sin. I want to follow you. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Make your home with me. I give you my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. With every head bowed still, every eye closed, if you've prayed that prayer, would you just kind of lift up your hand to me? Okay, thank you. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to have time of invitation. Perhaps the Lord is working in your heart in some other ways. Maybe you're at one of those places where you're needing the Lord to say in the storm in your life, please be still. The altar is open. I'm going to ask you to come, just pour out your heart to the Lord. Come and talk to me. If you've raised your hand just now, would you just come to me right now during this time? Maybe grab somebody by the hand and say, will you go with me? And I would like to pray with you. Pray for you. Others of you may have some other decisions you want to make. You hear the Spirit say, come. And so, whatever decision you feel in your heart needs to take place, would you do that? Let's stand together as we sing.